miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And don't forget to check us out on iHeartRadio Talk now. iHeartRadio Talk, we're a proud member of that family now. That's exciting news. Time now for What's Toxic and What's Not. Dr. Gary Ginsberg checks in every week at this time. Hey, thank you for coming on. This one hits close to home about skin rashes. It could be a lotion or a deodorant. I got a little red skin patch going there in the underarms. Could that be the reason?
Well, you know, this time of the year, people sweat a lot, and so whenever you get an extra buildup of moisture, it could just be from a little fungus. But it could also be that, and there's an increasing trend for skin rashes coming from our personal care products. More and more dermatologists are finding people are allergic to their lotions and to their deodorant. And so something you're rubbing on your skin that you want to moisturize and soften and keep you looking young could actually be a source of a rash. And they think, Mike and Joe, that they know what the culprit is. There's a chemical that has recently been identified as a fairly strong irritant and sensitizer, which means it raises an immunological reaction in your skin. It's called methyl isothiazolidine. And I'm not expecting people to remember that. Sometimes it's abbreviated as MI. I'm not expecting people to remember that. If you want to look for an ingredient on a label, if you see isothiazolidine or anything that looks like that, you might want to, you know, think twice, especially if you are having rashes with your current products and you're not sure what it's coming from. It could well be that. The recent patch testing has shown that 10% of people are allergic to this chemical, and it may just be increasing as it gets increasing exposure in the population.
So, where is it used, Gary?
It's as a preservative that's replacing parabens in products. Remember how I've talked about parabens on the show
Yep.
as being something to watch out for in lotions and deodorants and shampoo? And parabens, we talked about as being estrogenic. Well, they put in this isothiazolidine, which is an antibacterial, to preserve it, and, you know, lo and behold, it's having some problems there as well. So you might want to look for that on the label. If you're having skin rashes, any skin problems, talk to your dermatologist, of course. Let him look it up, look up your product, and see if maybe that's a no-go zone for you, especially if these rashes seem to happen after 6 to 12 hours after you use certain products.
I don't get it with the spray on. I get it with a rub on. I don't know if there's a difference or not.
It could well be a formulation difference, yeah. It could well be. Yep.
Toxic hair dyes, Gary. Tell us more about what you know about that.
Yeah, Joe, this is almost the same story, but just in a different form. Your skin, your hair, your body can react, not your hair so much, but your skin and the rest of your body can have a rejection reaction to chemicals. And that's what we just talked about in lotions, but hair dye has strong chemicals that are meant to be reacting with your hair, but they can also react with your skin and raise an immunological reaction there as well. This has been known for a long time, but recently two women died. I'm not talking about just a mild reaction here. I'm talking about people who had a shock reaction, anaphylactic shock type reaction from using a hair dye. So a few hours after they used the dye, they went into a shock reaction, and these two women didn't survive. And so that made not only the dermatology community, but the medical community overall take a closer look. The European, this happened in England, so the European Union, their health commission looked at what might be going on. They identified 36 different dyes that are commonly used in hair products that are a concern, a strong concern for them, because of the reactivity, the immunological reactivity.
Now, is this new, or is this, I mean, in other words, we don't see a lot of problems from hair dyes. I can't remember seeing one in the emergency room.
The formulations are always changing, so this could be a new phenomenon. This is an emerging issue in Europe, so it may be that the formulations there may be a little different. But the important thing, Mike, is that when if you do decide to continue, not go natural and use these products, you should always, always, always do the allergy patch test that they say to do before you use the rest of the bottle. So they tell you to apply a small amount on some skin, and if it starts burning and irritating, don't use the rest of it.
How often should you do that? In other words, we've got an email from someone who's just listening to us, and she said, I do this once every 3 weeks at home. How often? I put on hair dye. She said, how often do they change the instructions? How often should I do this patch test? I don't want to do it every 3 weeks.
Yeah, no.
That's a Denise, so we have to thank Denise for this.
Right. Denise, if you're using the same product, tried and true, you never have a problem with it, it's probably okay to do the patch test once every couple of months just to play it safe and make sure that they're not sneaking something in that they decide is either cheaper or will look better on you. But especially if you're using a new product.
Once every 2 months, that's pretty darn often. How about once every 2 years?
No. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to take a chance like that. Number one, for two reasons. One is because you could develop a reactivity against it, and so that your immune system may be slowly building up a sensitivity that could have a crescendo effect. So you want to do the patch test. They recommend every time. And I'm not going to really go against, they're covering their butt when they say that, but I'm not going to really go against them. And if you have a problem, then you can come and say, well, Dr. G said, I don't need to do it every time. So you really, to play it safe, you should do it every time. If it's up to you. If you want to go light on that, I still wouldn't let it go for more than once every couple of months.
All right, one more topic in this segment, Dr. Ginsberg. School kids are dying because of their school lunches. What's going on? Where?
Oh, my goodness. This was one of those stories that just makes you feel sick to your stomach. Whether you're a mother, a father, or a toxicologist, you hate to see this. 23 school kids at lunch time in India became acutely ill from a supplied school lunch that was poisoned with pesticide, and they died. Others got ill. 23 died. Many others got ill and went to the hospital. What happened was that in India, in this part of northern India, the pesticide cans are a good, solid, sturdy metal can where they deliver pesticide in. Well, once the farmer is done using the pesticide, the can may sit around the village, and somebody else may come along and store grain, rice in it. And so they don't have do a great job of cleaning these cans out. It should really be up to the manufacturer to come back, or whoever the distributor is of these potent pesticides, to come back and collect these cans and make sure they get reclaimed and recycled rather than going into food storage. And that's what happened. So this is one of these third world stories where our heart goes out to all these kids. It's happened in India where Bhopal happened many years ago, and they've got a toxic legacy there. And who knows how many other kids are getting more subtly poisoned by old pesticide cans that are laying around villages, the residue in the can, and people come along and stuff food in it because they either don't know what that can was. The can may be in English, and they don't speak or read English. So there's a lot of issues with pesticides in the third world, much more heavily used, much less regulated than here.
That's rough stuff. Dr.
Gary, can you hang around for the first segment in the next hour to talk about this, the good news, which is about a smog-clearing building?
Yeah, and you know what? The good thing about that story, I will, is that it's a follow-up to something we talked about last week.
All right, we'll be back with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. We continue on with you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.